So, you want to understand ADHD better? Well, we did a deep dive into a bunch of research and clinical perspectives for this episode.
Yeah, it's a huge topic.
It really is
Yeah.
ADHD. I mean, it's not just kids who can't sit still, right?
Yeah, no, not at all.
And one of the most interesting things I found was that ADHD is not actually a behavioral issue or a mental illness. It's actually a neurodevelopmental
A
difference.
difference?
Yeah, it's like almost like a different operating system in the brain.
Yeah, and when you think about it like that, it really reframes like the whole conversation around it. It's not about like willpower or anything like that. It's actually about how your brain is wired, and how you manage attention and impulses and even energy levels.
Really, just your brain is actually wired differently.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's not the person's fault.
Exactly.
And that whole saying about sugar, like sugar rush, making kids hyper, that's not exactly accurate either, is it?
Well, there have been some studies that have found a potential link between artificial colors and hyperactivity in some kids. But the reality is, it's way more complicated than that.
It's not that simple.
No. And while a balanced diet is super important, it's not the root cause of ADHD.
Okay, so let's get into what ADHD actually is. We all know what the acronym stands for: attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. But what does that mean in terms of, day-to-day life?
Well, it impacts what's called executive function. So think of your brain like it has this control center that helps you plan and organize and manage your time. It's like executive function in action. So having ADHD can kind of make those tasks feel like you're trying to climb a mountain with like no gear.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Thank you.
And while we often picture, the kid bouncing off the walls, ADHD symptoms are actually a lot more varied than that, right? What are some of the other signs?
Right, so there are actually different subtypes of ADHD. So some people struggle more with inattention while others have more hyperactivity and impulsivity, and a lot of people experience a combination of these things.
Hold on, did you say subtypes?
Yeah.
So it's not just one size fits all.
Exactly. And you're right, it's not always, like you said, a kid bouncing off the walls. Someone with ADHD could seem quiet and like daydreamy, but they're actually really struggling to focus and follow along.
Wow, so much of it is under the surface.
Yes.
It's not visible.
Exactly.
I'm starting to see why it can be so easily misunderstood.
Absolutely. And that's when the myths start to creep in. It's not bad parenting. It's not too much screen time. Those things might play a role in a kid's behavior, but they don't actually cause ADHD.
And what about genetics? Because I've heard that, ADHD can run in families. So can you really blame your genes?
That's where things get really interesting because there's no single ADHD gene, but we think multiple genes probably contribute to your predisposition to it.
Oh.
So it's more like a puzzle where multiple pieces have to fall into place. And even then, environmental factors can influence whether those genes even express themselves as ADHD or not.
So it's kind of nature and nurture interacting in complex ways.
Exactly.
That makes diagnosis pretty complicated then, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. There's no like simple blood test or anything like that. Doctors look for a pattern of symptoms, those subtypes we were talking about, the
Yeah.
inattentive, the hyperactive impulsive, or the combined presentation. They also have to rule out other conditions that might look like ADHD.
Oh, wow. So it's like detective work almost, right?
Totally.
Piecing together clues from the behavior, the medical history, and even like school reports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I imagine that's especially difficult with adults, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who've kind of learned to mask their symptoms over time.
Oh, absolutely.
And for that, they have these continuous performance
Yeah,
tests.
CPTs, yeah.
Yeah. And that helps measure the attention and impulsivity. But it's still a complex process. I mean, it's not just about checking boxes.
It really isn't.
It's about really understanding the whole person and the challenges that they face.
Yes. And while it's challenging and there are challenges, it's also really important to remember that ADHD is not just a list of deficits.
So we've talked about, what ADHD is and debunked some myths. But I think it's important to, really explore how it actually plays out in real life.
Oh, totally. Like understanding that lived experience is key.
Right.
And something that's often overlooked is that ADHD can also be a source of like incredible strengths.
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit before.
Yeah.
What are some of those advantages?
Well, people with ADHD can be incredibly creative.
Yeah.
They can think outside the box in ways that other people might not even consider. And that out of the box wiring can lead to like, some really unique innovation and problem solving.
And I've heard, you know, that hyperfocus, which can be a challenge when it comes to like doing chores or something. But it can actually be like a superpower when someone's really, really engaged in something they love.
Right, like that intensity can fuel a lot of passion and drive.
Totally, totally.
But of course, you know, those strengths often come bundled with challenges that shift and evolve as, you know, someone grows up.
Right. Okay, so let's kind of trace that journey. Let's start with childhood. What are some of the things that parents and educators might observe in a child with ADHD?
Well, it's often in a classroom setting where those challenges first become apparent.
Mm.
You know, a child might have trouble sitting still, or they might be constantly fidgeting or blurting out answers before thinking. And that impulsivity can be tough to manage, you know, in an environment that really demands a lot of structure and self-control.
Right. And it's not always about being, you know, disruptive in class. It's also, you know, just about the difficulty focusing and staying on task.
Exactly. So a child might appear to be daydreaming, but their mind is actually like racing, jumping from one thought to the next.
Right. Oh.
And that can make it, you know, really hard to follow instructions and complete assignments and even just keep track of their things.
Which all ties back to that, you know, the executive function,
mm-hmm.
like those core skills.
Yeah, it all connects.
Yeah.
And for a child who's already struggling to kind of keep up, that constant feeling of, you know, being different or not fitting in can be really isolating.
Yeah, and that's why that early intervention is so important, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The sooner a child receives support, the better. And, you know, it's about building those executive function skills, developing coping mechanisms, and learning to leverage their strengths.
And so as children with ADHD kind of enter those tumultuous teenage years, how do those challenges play out?
Well, adolescence is already like a roller coaster of hormones and social pressures.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And for teens with ADHD, those pressures can like magnify those existing difficulties with emotional regulation and impulse control.
So those impulsive actions might, you know, kind of take on a different dimension, mm-hmm. leading to like risk-taking behavior or even conflict with peers and family.
Exactly. And academically, the demands become even more complex.
Yeah.
You know, requiring even greater organization and self-discipline.
Right. Like the stakes are higher
right.
at the same time that these things are getting harder to manage.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And for some teens, the inattentive type of ADHD might become more apparent. They might struggle to keep up with their homework, miss deadlines, or zone out during class.
And again, you know, it's important to remember these aren't signs of, you know, laziness or lack of intelligence.
Right.
It's really about their brain being wired differently.
Totally. And with the right support, teens with ADHD can absolutely thrive. Therapy can provide them with, you know, coping skills and strategies, and medication can help manage those core symptoms. It's just about finding the right balance for each individual.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about, you know, childhood and adolescence. But there's this, like, misconception, I think, that ADHD is something you just, you know, grow out of. What's the reality of ADHD in adulthood?
Well, while symptoms might lessen for some people, many adults continue to face significant challenges. And those challenges take on new forms in the context of, you know, work and relationships and everyday responsibilities.
So those executive function skills just become even more critical.
Right.
As the demands of adult life increase.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine trying to, you know, manage a career, a household, maybe even a family when you're constantly battling disorganization and forgetfulness and difficulty prioritizing tasks.
And let's be honest, even people without ADHD, you know. That's a lot. That's really stressful.
Right. But for someone with ADHD, it can feel completely overwhelming.
Yeah.
And lead to feelings of inadequacy and anxiety and even depression.
Right.
You know, it's like running a marathon with like a backpack full of rocks.
Wow. That's a very vivid image.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. You know, it helps explain why so many adults with ADHD feel like they're constantly playing catch up or letting people down, even when they're working really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And in relationships, those challenges with, you know, impulsivity and emotional regulation and communication can lead to misunderstandings and conflict.
So it's not just a personal struggle. It also, you know, impacts the people around them.
Right. Exactly.
Which makes it, you know, even more crucial to understand and support adults with ADHD.
Totally. You're hitting on a really important point. It's not about making excuses. It's about recognizing that ADHD is a real neurobiological condition,
mm-hmm.
and it requires ongoing management and support.
Right. So let's talk about support.
Okay.
We know medication and therapy can be really helpful.
Yeah.
What does that actually look like in practice?
Well, one of the most effective approaches is cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT.
Okay.
And it helps individuals identify and modify those negative thought patterns that contribute to those feelings of overwhelm and self-doubt.
We've talked about a lot in this deep dive. You know, we talked about the science, the symptoms, the treatments, and the challenges people with ADHD face.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's another layer here.
Yeah.
The social and cultural landscape.
Oh, absolutely.
Like surrounding ADHD.
Yeah.
Because even when, you know, even when someone understands their own ADHD and has tools to, you know, manage it, they still have to deal with, you know, other people's perceptions and judgments.
Yeah. The stigma around ADHD is really pervasive.
Yeah.
Like, think about some of the common phrases you hear. They just need to try harder.
Yeah.
Or, you know, everyone gets distracted sometimes. It's like people are minimizing the struggles of people who actually have ADHD.
Yeah. And those comments, I mean, I know they're often well-intentioned, but they can be so hurtful.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like telling someone with a broken leg to just walk it off.
Exactly. It just completely dismisses the very real neurological differences.
Right.
And that stigma can prevent people from seeking help or even disclosing their diagnosis because they're afraid of being judged or labeled.
So they're struggling internally, feeling like, you know, they're not good enough or like they're constantly letting people down, but they're afraid to speak up and ask for help.
That's the reality for a lot of people. They internalize those negative messages and they believe that they're, you know, somehow flawed or lazy, when in reality, they're working twice as hard just to keep up.
And that's the thing, right? Like ADHD, it's not a character flaw.
Right,
you know, it's not about willpower or discipline.
It's
about, you know, a different way that their brain is wired.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, education and awareness are so important.
Yeah.
We need to shift that conversation away from seeing ADHD as a deficit.
Right.
And start recognizing it as a different way of thinking and experiencing the world.
I love that reframing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when we just focus on the deficits, we miss out on all the amazing strengths, you know,
same
and
life.
The talents that often go along with ADHD.
Like the creativity and the energy.
Yes.
The out-of-the-box thinking.
Absolutely.
That so many people with ADHD have.
It's like their brains are wired for, like, innovation and risk-taking.
Yes.
And pushing boundaries.
It's a really powerful way to put it. And it's not just about those who, you know, achieve great things. It's about recognizing and valuing the contributions of every single person who has ADHD.
Yes, absolutely. Because everybody deserves to feel seen and understood and supported for who they are, you know, not judged for how their brain is wired.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
And that's why organizations like CHEH Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder are so important. You know, they provide incredible resources and support for individuals and families who are dealing with ADHD and navigating all the complexities of it. They're also doing really important advocacy work to, you know, push for policy changes and accommodations to, you know, help create a more inclusive and equitable world for people with ADHD.
So it's about shifting that societal perspective away from judgment and stigma and moving toward understanding and acceptance.
It's about embracing neurodiversity.
Yes.
And recognizing that different doesn't mean deficient.
100%. And it's about empowering you know, individuals with ADHD to reach their full potential, whatever that might look like for them.
Well said. I think that's a really powerful and hopeful note to wrap up on.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, we've explored the science and the struggles and the strengths and the societal perceptions. And I hope this conversation has helped you to understand ADHD a little bit better.
Yeah.
And the people who live with it every day.
Yeah, me too. And if anything resonated with you today, we encourage you to continue learning and exploring. You know, there's tons of information and resources out there.
Yeah. And remember, you're not alone.
Right.
Connecting with others who share similar experiences can be really empowering.
There are so many communities, both, you know, online and in person, where people can connect and share their stories and find support and advocate for positive change.
Yeah. And if you're someone with ADHD, remember that seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness.
Yes.
You know, there are professionals out there who can help you understand your unique challenges and help you find tools and strategies that work best for you.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect message to leave our listeners with today. Knowledge is power, and understanding is the first step towards acceptance and support. And everyone, regardless of how their brain works, deserves the opportunity to thrive. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive